Hey everybody, welcome back to the 10th floor. It's me, Matt.
Everybody's Cat.
And you're here. Climb on out of that waiting room, folks. Put down Chandra's baked goods. Let's get into this elevator. We're going to ascend all the way up to the 10th floor because there are 10 levels of incredible deep drama to dive into this week.
There is.
Level 1, quitting jobs. You know, just resetting your life in a different direction.
Yeah.
You know, level 2,
yeah.
You know, we got a couple of pairs of half brothers and living together brothers that are splitting camps, which will eventually be, I can't believe he shot Dante. What do you mean he saved my dad? Camps. You know, we got, you know, level 5, we got, or more like level 9, we got breakups. As blonde halves of relationships realize just how deep it means to be involved with the mafia.
Yes.
And I think that's what we'll start. Get onto the 10th floor, look left, look to the right. People are trying to find out where the drugs are, but that's not what I'm interested in starting off with. I'm looking over at Jocelyn, looking kind of sad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just us. Let me read these names here real quick before we get into it, okay, Ma?
Okay.
Chandra's in the elevator with us, of course. Welcome back, Chandra.
Yay, Chandra.
The void that Chandra leaves when she's not here has now been filled with her presence once again. Kelly, of course, is back with us. Kelly, never missing a show, really. Now that she's got her internet back.
I know.
Liz is here. Hi, Liz. Cheryl, we got both moderators. Hello, moderator 1, moderator 2.
Don't be messing up in the chat, y'all.
Not at all.
Your eyeball's on you today.
You got 4 pairs of eyes, making sure that you're staying on the straight and narrow. We got Janet is here. Sandy is here. Lola's mama is here. Jeannie is back with us once again. Hello. Hello. Hello.
Hi, guys.
So, hey, look at that. Welcome. Why was I so happy to see Comet return? But where's the lizard? Asks Leanne.
Where's the what?
Where's the lizard?
Oh.
Okay, so I want to talk about Jocelyn. I want to talk about Jocelyn because, you know, there, as always, when it comes to the young people out there in General Hospital, there's a massive divide out there when it comes to reaction to the stories that she's in. Mm-hmm. Plenty of people are like, what is this nonsense? Other people are like, why do we even care about this nonsense?
Mm-hmm.
And then I fall in that area, right in between, where I'm like, this nonsense makes perfect sense, everybody.
Jocelyn was only trying to see what she wanted to see before.
She definitely was looking at everything with rose-colored glasses. She, up to this point in time, has not been an adult. Not saying that she hasn't been an adult since she was 18. I'm not saying that she hasn't been an adult for the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to, like, dealing with adult life developments, she's new to them. So growing up in the environment of the mafia, mob, organized crime, whatever it is you want to call it, and seeing the regularness of this in her daily life.
But she was so protective from it.
She was shielded from it, but also she had an understanding that Jason whacked people. She didn't know who was whacked, and she was never old enough to ever even meet these people.
Right.
So Jason whacks, you know, Olivia Jerome, which he didn't do, but if he had... She doesn't know who Olivia Jerome is.
And the Pine Barrens is full of bones.
You know, and so it was such a regular part of her life and also separated from her life that there was that disconnect of what it really meant.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the relationship that she saw her mother have with Jason and Sonny, who were mobsters.
Yes.
And that came out in the conversation that they had. How could you constantly forgive Jason for these things?
Yeah.
So this is really the first time that Jocelyn has truly been confronted with what it means to work in organized crime and to love somebody who must be put in these positions because of the job. This is something that Carly understands and was trying to explain to her.
Carly was trying to explain it to her. Yes, she was, but she, Carly must have known that wasn't the best advice, though. I mean, the best advice for your daughter would be separate yourself. Don't get involved with another man like that. Let this be in your past. If you don't.
Like, yeah, okay.
But Carly, to me, her answer was more like, I understand, I understand, I understand, I understand. But what did you expect, babe?
Well, I mean, that's kind of, you know, why I find a lot of realism in this whole thing, because I think it makes sense that Jocelyn is now, for the first time, truly being confronted with this in a real way, mm-hmm. and having to form an opinion, a real adult informed opinion about it going forward. Carly has already made her choice when it comes to dealing with people who do these things, and she has for the last 20 years. So
and there's been occasions on the show where Carly tried to step away and I'm not going to be involved with anybody in the mob, blah, blah, blah.
She just
keeps getting
roped back in because what Carly in these situations is prioritizing, which she was explaining to Jocelyn, wasn't the choices that he makes because of the job that he has, but the reason why he's still in town to begin with, which is you, my darling. So it was just so quality in there. There was so much quality content in my heart for that interaction between Jocelyn and Carly. And then, of course, Jocelyn and Dex and the breakup, you know, Friday through Monday, mm-hmm. because Nina doesn't know how to not just stab people.
I tell you, even when her heart is pure, which occasionally it has been, she always does a funky U-turn. She just can't help herself.
It's not, I'm trying to phrase this in a way that doesn't diminish what you said, because what you said is absolutely fact. But she doesn't do this without sort of provocation. Even if it's minor, yeah. In the grand scheme of things, even if it's minor, even if somebody said some kind of B-wordy, you know?
Well, as long as if you disagree with her at all, or you don't jump on the bandwagon of forgiveness, she's going to turn it around and do something stupid.
Yes, yes. What I would like to see is this element of Nina come out with other characters. And I'm not saying because I like it and all that kind of stuff. I just think it would better inform this part of her personality. Because she mm-hmm. does sting. And it is based off of, you know, the basic thing of, you know, somebody disagreeing with her. But they disagree with her in such a disgusting, rude tone. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just like, oh, Nina, I'm very busy today. You know, if we could have this conversation, you know, another time, that would be very helpful. And just constantly just blow her off and blow her off and blow her off. That would be different than, you know, run out of backs to stab today, Nina, you know? Like, it's provoking language, you know?
Yes.
That doesn't make Nina 100% right about how she responds to it, but it's responding to something.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just good. It's good to me. I like it. I like how the writers have, these new writers, I'm going to praise for the next year, probably. Finding the balance of praising the new writers without making it sound like I hated the old regime is mm-hmm. going to be difficult, because the last years happened. The stories took place.
You know,
they're fact. They're reality. They happened. We can't ignore it.
Now, the old regime of writing, I the only real problem I had with them was just pacing.
Yeah.
It wasn't the stories itself. It was the pacing, 100% the pacing. It wasn't the stories.
Hmm.
Pacing was just too much.
Yeah, yeah. It took way too long to do stuff. Yeah, and I would totally agree with you. I don't necessarily think the content was particularly bad. It wasn't diverse in creativity, but it wasn't necessarily bad, in my opinion. But there is a definite difference in the experience of watching the show now versus just a couple of weeks ago. And it's through the quality of these conversations and these writers having I guess, a better idea of what they want to do with these characters. And since they have a better idea, they can really lean into personality types and idiosyncrasies and flaws that didn't necessarily have, the spotlight on it before. I know I'm getting super grainy, granular when it comes to my nerdy analysis, but I don't know. It's fun for me. It's good to watch. It's good to watch. I think he taught Jocelyn a lesson. Don't hang out with the wolves. Well, there you go, Kaiwan.
But I don't think that Jocelyn and Dex are done.
No. So my poll question is, are they done for now, or are they done done?
Oh, they're not done, done. No.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I think that there is room for them to stay together. I think that in order to do that, they should, just for audience satisfaction, have them bond more emotionally rather than as physically
Yeah, because they
as they
don't
have
have
been.
no problem with the physical part,
No,
right?
I mean, even while breaking up, he's carrying her into another room, like
I thought that was a little bit dirty.
it was
I thought it was a little bit dirty. Oh, let me just get let yeah, let me catch that one more
Well, I mean,
time.
not even just one, it was two more times, really, because she went to go track him down and he was like, "Oh my God, what are you doing here? Bang, bang, bang. Okay, you need to leave." Right? And then he comes back to Port Charles and she's like, "I'm, this is tough, this is tense." And he's like, "I still gotta go." And bang, bang, bang. Nina shows up and they break up, Oh gosh. Leanne says that Joss just can't stay away from that steamy sex. And she will always find an
Evidently,
excuse.
maybe she got a, maybe she like her, as we might find out, maybe she got a thing for a Quartermain.
I don't know.
Because Dex might be a
I don't know.
Quartermain.
We'll see. We'll see. Is he going to be that neutral third party son of Jason's, standing in between his angsty hormonal teenagers?
Yeah, it'll be interesting what they make. Dex is going to be somebody. He is, and of course, he is somebody now, but he's going to be a family member to somebody. We'll see. We'll
Oh,
see.
definitely. Oh, definitely. It's not Jagger. As time goes by, it's probably more and more Jason. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. So, done for now. Done, done. I mean, 100% of the people who participated in this week's poll say, done for now. 100%. Not a single person clicked on done for good forever. So,
Done for now.
everybody expects this to be a done for now situation. So we'll
Let's
see
see
how
how
that.
long done for now is. We'll see if there's a relationship slips in there in between done for now and back together. Time will tell.
And then if Dex does wind up being Jason's, then we get that fun added element of Joss and Dex's relationship where Dex is Michael's nephew or something, cousin, is Michael's AJ's kid, and if Jason is Dex's dad, then that would make Michael and Dex first cousins.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, there's always a little smudge on those
Jason's first
family tree
cousins.
leaves.
Just like Brooklyn is Jason's first cousin.
Right. Because he and Ned, Jason and Ned, are of the same generational line. Because Alan and Tracy are brother and sister. Look at that. The Quartermain family tree might actually be the easiest one to track of the entire GH families.
It might
It
be.
might be. The
It
Corinthos
might
one,
be.
impossible.
I love Brooklyn's face when Jason walked into the police or the police station with Diane. I loved it. Brooklyn was like, I'm seeing
So Jason turns himself in on Friday, right? He calls
it.
Diane, turns himself in, all that kind of stuff, and he's like, "This is the only thing that I can do, right? In order to keep everybody safe, Michael. Like, there's only one option that I have. I can't just run." This is him just asking to get picked up again by Jagger, essentially. He gets swooped up by the PCPD. Who's going to immediately get him out of there? Not Diane. Jagger.
Jagger. Jagger's going to get him out of there because he's working for Jagger.
Because he's working for Jagger, and Jason can't be in a position to have a bunch of questions. Where were you? Why are you? What is this? Because it might eventually blow back on John Jagger Cates. So basically, the only thing that
If he
Jason can
says
do,
anything, because Jason typically doesn't say anything.
right. I mean, he wouldn't say anything, but also at the same time, they got to get Jason out of that situation. Like, there's no choice. Jagger has to. So I think that that was less, I'm turning myself in for this crime, and more, I'm making my location insanely obvious for Jagger to come get me in a
Yeah.
neutral place that isn't the Quartermain Boathouse.
Right.
So that's what I think. So Jagger's going to saunter into that interrogation room, sit down, and we're going to find everything out.
I hope so.
You know, he's going to be like, "What are you doing, Jason?" He's going to be like, "I'm protecting Michael. I'm protecting Carly. I'm protecting whoever from these RICO charges."
Yep.
Yes, with all of that impassion that I just gave. I'm doing this because that is totally Jason.
Oh man, he was stoic in that police in that
Sure
room
is.
too. He was so stoic in there.
He's
He's
just
just
he really
so stoic.
he's able to turn stone cold on.
Oh, he could turn stone cold on like cold water.
Doesn't even have to wait. It just comes out
No.
cold. Cold water, that's so funny. Oh my gosh, that is so funny. Monday's preview, says Kelly. Monday's preview has Jagger saying to Jason, "What are you doing here? So look at me, I'm right already. I am right already." Ned and Jason are first cousins. That's good. That's good to have that confirmation. Leanne says that the Quartermains run in Jocelyn's blood. Well, I mean, Oscar was a Quartermain.
Yeah, he was.
Sure was, sure was. Cameron, not a Quartermain. Not a Quartermain. No. But I do wanna, it's a note here. So let me cross out Jex breaks up. Great. Now I've got here we go, Battle of the Brothers, Ma. Okay, this is interesting. This is something that I was looking forward to, but didn't quite expand my original thought to where it seems to be going on the show. So, you know, I said a million years ago, way before Jason even came back when Charlotte was shot, and the difference that Danny and Jake had over that situation and the reaction to it, I said, oh boy, just wait for Jason to come back into town because we're going to have a split between these two kids. And here we are. We have it.
Yeah,
Look at me. Look at me being right.
it appears like it's going to be more than just
But it's
these two
not
kids.
just those two kids. It is expanding into their brothers. Jake and Aiden, of course, are brothers. Danny and Rocket, no. But they have been being raised together in a house, co-parented by Sam and Dante for the last couple of years. And we're talking years from them being 11 to 14, you know, 12 to 15, which are
Yes,
very important development years.
they are.
So Dante means a lot to Danny, and of course means everything to Dante's frickin' son. So these two camps are forming in the teens, and I'm here for it. When Aiden showed up to talk to Elizabeth, I was like, "What are we doing? What is this?"
That kid looks different.
Like, already, didn't he already like shoot up 6 inches since the last time we saw him? That
Yes,
kid's
yes, and
enormous.
yes.
Like,
Him and Hudson are about the same size now.
I mean, good, because you know it sells that brother thing. You know, Elizabeth is just a petite, diminutive woman. But it's not like her bloodline is of a bunch of small people.
No.
You know, this is just a case of hiring an actress that was tiny. But you know, MacGyver is not a little man.
And in person, he's really tiny, you
You
guys.
know, and even then, even so MacGyver, you know, Richard Dean Anderson, he's not a little guy. You know, I'm not going to say he's 6 foot 2, you know, 250 or anything, but he's not, you know, he wasn't the size of Billy Warlock.
No, I think he was like an average stature, maybe like, somewhere between 5 foot 10 and 6 foot.
Yeah, something like that. You know,
Yeah, I think he's an average stature for
reasonably
most dudes.
built. You know, he wasn't. You know, he wasn't skinny, but he also wasn't. You know, a big bodybuilder or anything. You know, he was a fit, athletic looking guy. And then we had now
How
have this,
cute.
And so that's who her father is, right? Because that's who the actor was.
Yes. To me, yes. Not that goofball they showed
you
up
know,
for
the
a
new
couple
guy, you know,
scenes.
that's
No.
not the face of Jeff Weber yet. It's still Richard Dean Anderson. And then we got to meet Carolyn Weber and see her for the very first time ever. As
Yes.
played by Denise Crosby, a.k.a. Tasha Yar, who also
Yes, we
isn't
did.
a small person.
No.
And I'm not saying, oh, wow, she's rotund. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that when it comes to height and build and all that kind of stuff, she played the security officer on Star Trek for a reason.
Very broad-shouldered woman.
You know, she looks like she'd be able to tackle you.
Yeah.
So Elizabeth doesn't come from small people. So all of that just to support the fact that they've hired two actors that are getting tall.
And, you know, honestly, they don't, you know, they hired these young men when they were pre-puberty.
Yeah. They hired them when they were, you know, let's see. I mean, Hudson's been on. We watched Hudson grow. You know,
Hudson was he opened the Chimera.
Yeah, he was like 9.
Yeah, he'd been on a long time.
You know, like when Jake was resurrected, it was Hudson West.
Yeah, pretty much, yes. You know? When we found out that Jake wasn't really dead,
they wheeled little blondes and Hudson blood Hudson out.
You can kind of look at a kid's parents and think you kind of guesstimate on how large of a person they're going to be, but you don't know.
No. I would think that that's something a casting director actually takes a look at.
Do you think that we knew that Baron Trump was going to be 7 foot tall? He damn near is 7 foot tall, Baron Trump.
Then maybe his parents aren't his parents after all, and they just found that kid on the street.
You can only hope so.
Oh God. I didn't know that. I don't follow that family at all. But back to the fantasy world that we all love. I would hope that I don't know if hope is the right word, but I would think that a casting director would also want to meet the parents of a young actor just to have an idea of where the kid may be going, you know?
I think with the laws and whatnot on child actors, I mean, do they really have a choice but to meet the parents?
Well, yes. No, but also at the same I don't know, because do parents need to be there at the studio, or are the parents just overlooking the contract that's being signed? I need to watch that Nickelodeon documentary and get a little insight as to how involved parents truly are.
Well, if you do, prepare to be a little sad.
You know, really? I mean, it's on the list. It's on the watch list. But we just haven't clicked on it yet. You know, so we'll see. We'll see. So yeah, two giant kids. Aiden just shot up right into the sky, and we'll have to continue to see how this kid develops, because not kid, but how the character develops and how the actor does. Let me make sure nobody misunderstands what I meant with that. Because I've already reached out to his people, and there's an opening there for young little, you know, Enzo to hop onto the podcast with us. But I wanted to, you know, have something really meaty to be able to sink our teeth into in the conversation. And so hopefully we're going in that direction when it comes to this stuff.
Awesome.
So I don't know. We'll see. So I'm looking forward to that, crossing that off the list.
Yeah, but you're right. There's going to be two camps for sure. There's going to be a camp of pissed off at Jason. There's going to be a camp of why you pissed off at Jason.
Yeah, and so, you know, I mean, I was just talking about the kids there, but of course the whole cast, essentially everybody associated with Jason, is finding their way onto one side or the other. You know, what was it? Elizabeth was, I think Elizabeth is probably on the most on the fence about it of anybody.
Yeah.
You know, just
she really wants to believe that Jason didn't shoot Dante, but she's not convinced that he didn't.
Right. You know, and I think that was a conversation that she had with Jagger in the hospital. So I think it was pretty brief, really. But she, yeah. She kind of made it seem like, I understand that this is what his accusation was. There's no real reason for me to not believe it happened other than my hope that he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I can see both. But also, you know, that supports, you know, kind of Elizabeth's opinion about Jason, because she fully thought that he shot Franco for a long time just because Gladys said so.
Yeah.
So thinking that Jason is willing and able to do these things isn't new for Elizabeth.
No.
Look at them. Look at these people just reaching even into like recent history to inform characters' reactions to stuff. You just love to see the consistency. Chandra says, I think the new writers are really trying to establish that history. Aiden just physically came back on the scene. He's the second or third actor to blame. So yeah, so purposeful casting when it comes to maybe the ultimate height of these actors one day. I don't know. It's wild. It's wild. Let Aiden go work at Eckert's. Oh, is that a bakery? Eckert's Bakery?
Yes, Eckert's Bakery.
Yeah.
Yes, Eckert's Bakery is still, in fact, they mentioned it in the past 30 days or so. They've mentioned it.
Yeah,
They
it
have brought
sounded
something.
familiar.
I don't remember exactly, but somebody brought something from Eckert's to someone else, some kind of treat. Yes.
Let Aiden go work at Eckert's. Yeah, he should. Blink thinks that they should go work at the Eckert's. Blink is also tired of all the baking references, but that's really the only like character trait that Aiden has at the moment.
It's true. I
So.
think they should. I think if they're going to use him, I think they need to broaden him out a little bit.
I mean, you
Yeah,
know.
and what was his crush's name?
Elias or something? I don't remember.
Bias?
Elias? Tobias. Tobias.
Yeah. So, maybe they'll have a C Tobias.
Have him on a little awkward coffee date. Something.
Something like that.
Yeah. And then that's a good way too to inform the audience a little bit more about Aiden, because they're on this weird little awkward coffee date. They really don't know what to talk about. And so they just talk about, what do you like to do? I like to bake and play baseball and get straight A's
And
and
I love Blaze's music.
Blaze's music. And I enjoy computer programming. And, open up a couple of avenues for Aiden potentially one day, not now. It doesn't have to be now. He doesn't need to become the star of the show. But open up some avenues for him to be like interact with Spinelli because he likes computers. Something,
Something like that.
something, something.
I think he should be providing baked goods for Bobby's.
Yeah, maybe Carly can get a little, give him a little job. It's not like she doesn't have any sort of connection to him. I mean, she doesn't really, but then does also because he's Lucky's kid.
He is Lucky's kid,
So
yes.
yeah, she's blood related to that little boy. She can give
Yes,
him a
she
little
is.
job at Kelly's, being the pastry chef.
Yes.
Look at that, all kinds of different just possibilities. And then they can work baking into his character without always talking about baking. Because he can just
Right.
come with like out of the kitchen with
He
flour on.
can be more like Chanel and Sweet Bits.
Yeah, exactly. On days where every once in a while she's like, man, I had to make 27 dozen cupcakes today. Ooh, boy, am I tired. Let's talk about something else though. So maybe you're onto something, Blink. Maybe you're on. Maybe you're onto something. Oh, Blaze had an Eckert's box. There you go. There you go. Oh. I'd like to see a scene, says Melissa. Hi, Melissa. I'd like to see a scene of Charlotte apologizing to Aiden over bullying him in the past because she was trying to fix him from being a mini gay and having a hard life. I don't know, was that what she was trying to do, or was she just being a B word? Because I think she was just being a
I
B
think she
word.
was just being a little turd.
Yeah, like she was just being a little third grade punk,
She was
honestly.
just being a bully.
Because I would say that's too young. Like,
But that
maybe
was
right
first,
now,
it was
yeah.
actually first grade.
Was it
It was
first grade?
actually
Was
first grade,
Willow was a first
yes.
grade teacher?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was first grade for them. And I don't, I don't think that's too young to even really completely understand why you're bullying somebody, other than they're
Yeah.
different.
Other than, oh, look at you with your princess pencils, which is pretty much what it boiled down to.
Yes.
And yeah, that was just, I think that was just her being a punk. I think, yeah, I'm with you. I think it's a little too young to have like that world understanding of like, well, let me punk you out of this behavior so your life is easier.
Right. No, I think it, 6 years old, you just making fun of someone's pencil.
Yeah, I think it's pink. You're a boy. Melissa continues trying to sell her point more. Let's see what else she has to say. Some detail we forgot, maybe. There was a scene of Charlotte saying she was doing it because he was different and she was trying to stop him from standing out. That's what I
So she
inferred
was
because it's
jealousy of
written
the
titles.
attention he might be getting at the time.
I don't remember that scene. It's hard for me to comment on it without like hearing the exact words said, and the emotional intent behind it and the context behind it all. I'm still on camp too young. I would say, yeah, it's probably a little more like you're getting more attention than me in class. They think you're cooler.
What I remember about that more than anything was just how hateful Nina was to Willow in front of
Oh yeah.
other parents,
Oh
at
yes.
his
Oh
open house or
yes.
something like that. And she was awful to her right there in Willow's environment. That wasn't Nina's environment, that was Willow's environment, and she really tried to mess with her, that's back in Michelle Stafford days
Oh yeah. Yeah,
of
yeah, yeah.
Nina.
So you know, I mean that little bullying of Aiden and stuff wasn't about Aiden and Charlotte. It was about Nina and Willow. It
It
was
was.
introducing Willow to the campus. It was giving her a conflict with Nina. It was informing the character,
It
showing you
was.
what her temperament was, what she would be willing to take, how much abuse she would absorb from Nina before she finally just effing quits teaching. Because good God, has this woman not made it worth it? Wow, she's hated Nina since day one.
She really has. And she did accept Nina there for a little while, and but they're not really showing us how Willow exactly feels about Nina right now, other than avoiding her. But they haven't had any confrontations, and it's really kind of surprising that Nina hasn't been at Willow's door.
I guess she's too busy trying to save her relationship with Sunny, but I'm with
I guess,
Valentine
huh?
on that, okay? Because Valentine's like, is this thing even worth saving? This person that I want to marry again. Look at you, you're so beautiful. Listen, me and Anna didn't work out, okay? And I still have a little heart for one Miss
I
Nina.
still like you. You're looking kind of good to me.
You're looking kind of good.
Valentine is leaning back into his conniving,
Yes, Mama.
more into his c conniving,
We are on the Nina teen train. The Valenina. The Lena. I don't know what their smash name is, but we are back on that train. We are headed to the next stop and station for these two as they are going to return to that delightful pairing that they were when we first started our podcast.
Yeah, he's leaning into being a Cassadine.
We started our podcast when Nina still thought Sasha was her real daughter. However, Nina was with Jax, though, at the time, so they had already split up with Valentine. Or did she find... No, she was going to get married to Valentine. We watched and podcasted about the big breakdown and breakup at the wedding chapel because she found that man and
Yes.
Jax took her away. And then that started their little thing. But we're getting back to it. We're getting back to no good team of Nina and Valentine. And I'm here for it. I love Valentine. I love Nina. Always have, even Michelle Stafford, I'm here for it, and I'm sure Cynthia Watros is very excited.
I'm
She's
sure she is
great.
too.
She is such a gem. If you talk to her, she's gonna say what she is doing is the most fun thing that she's ever had, and she would love to play it until she retires, and her and this, that, and the other thing, and these actors, and you're never gonna hear her ever say anything negative about the experience that she's happening on the show, but somewhere deep down inside, she's craving to do something else, something more, something different with Nina.
Probably.
Because she's been chasing herself the entire time Cynthia Watros has been playing her. Just constantly stepping into her own trouble, stepping into her
Oh
own
yeah.
trouble, and
Oh
just
yeah.
Carly, Carly,
Boy,
Carly, Carly, Carly.
there'd be one dog pile in the whole yard. That girl will find it and step in
Yes. Oh goodness, making an face of deception. Oh, Melissa, we'll get to it. Oh gosh. Yeah, Nina, whatever happened to the sale of Cassadine Island? It's gone through. We just haven't had the person move in yet.
There's a lot of unanswered questions on General Hospital right now. One of them is who did buy the island? Somebody did.
Well, so here's the thing. We're gonna have to hang a lantern on it for a little while, for the next couple of weeks at least, because the old writers sold Cassadine Island and didn't tell us who bought it, and the new writers are starting with a sold Cassadine Island and no buyer.
Well, they could fix it and go right back to what it was and have Nicholas be the buyer.
Very easily. Super
Very
easily.
easily.
So super easily. And that's probably what's going to happen. Don't think we're never going to see Adam Huss again.
Hopefully
We're
see Adam Huss
probably going to
again.
see Adam Huss before you realize it.
I hope so.
I mean,
Hope
hopefully.
so.
That would be wonderful. And if he does show up in the next couple of weeks, you can say that I told you, that I was always in the know, that I knew when I didn't really.
I hope we see him again. I like
It's not
Adam Huss.
Cassadine
Looks
Island,
like it.
blah blah, Spoon Island, blah, 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 blah. You know what we're talking about, Blink, okay? If you're expecting 100% accuracy from the 10th floor, go to a different hospital. Okay.
No, our catchphrase is we have a
Don't come
lot to
here for
say.
the
We don't
news.
know nothing.
Don't come here for the news. Do not come here for the news. And we don't make fun of things, we make them fun.
Try.
We sure do. We sure
We
do.
try.
Like the changing face of deception. Today's cover art. We have Sasha explaining what the F is it that you want from me, photographer. And we've got Lucy
I thought that
standing in behind going.
was lame. All of it was lame. Okay, if you're gonna have, okay, you have a photo shoot. You have this big photo shoot. There was no conversation before the photo shoot of what they were looking for. Come on. Come on.
They knew what they were
Yeah.
looking for, but they didn't tell, apparently they didn't tell Deception the outfit, the theme, the style of the photo
No, I
shoot.
guess
Yeah.
not, huh?
Yeah. So then we need somebody
So that's.
edgier. We need somebody not so pleasant. Because she's Maybelline. She's a Maybelline type of model.
She is. She's a beautiful cover girl, isn't
Oh,
she?
very much so, but that carries, beautiful cover girl. And it, no edge, no spunk, no spark, no sex. I guess that they wanted. And to Sasha's credit, she's like, you know what? I never even really wanted to be a model, and I don't want to be that kind of model, that's for sure.
Well, they ought to stick Lucy in there because Lucy would do it in the hallway behind a hay bale.
And then try to salvage her relationship with her boyfriend with hay in her hair.
She ain't got no scruples. Put her up there. She can look mean.
And so basically this week they've lost both faces of deception. Because Cody
Yes,
was like, sue me.
they did.
What do I got? I work at your house, Tracy. Sue me.
I loved it. And then Sasha goes over to, the Taj Mahal horse barn. And she tells him the same thing. Well, I didn't quit town.
And then they're going, well, what do we do now? Skip town? And then, that would suck. But we're in a new precipice here for Sasha and Cody.
I like Sasha and Cody.
They are.
They're not on the edge of your seat viewing.
No,
They're not.
no.
But they, I,
They're a good way to round out the ensemble. You
they are.
need
And you
a
know.
fun, experience that isn't just heavy. And that's what
Right.
they provide.
And we need to see Sasha win.
Yeah, especially recently. Especially recently.
Yeah, we need to
So,
see Sasha win.
so I.
I loved, I love Tracy going out there.
To the stables?
Out there to the stable. I love little James telling her,
Mean. You're
"You're
mean
the
and you're
mean
a
old
bad
lady."
boss. My grandpa Max says that a boss is willing to sweep, okay? So
Was adorable.
it really
It was
was.
adorable. And I love that Cody let his, he's been worried about Cody, and I love the fact that Cody's been letting them come out there, just hanging out, and I can't wait for everybody to find out that Cody, Scorpio.
Oh, yeah, it's gonna be
And
great.
I've been your real uncle all along.
Right. And then it's gonna be like, I don't know, like I don't what I don't want to see is this news come out and have a couple of people. It's a soap, so it'll probably happen this way. But like have people like be angry with him. How could you not tell us? How could you keep this secret? What I want is everybody to go, oh, this makes sense.
They should be mad at him for what fueled his decision for the deception in the first place. Which was the necklace.
He wanted the necklace.
Greed.
Yeah. That for maybe I'm just a weird person, but that for me feels like a legitimate reason to have not said this thing.
Well, it's a legitimate reason.
If it was, let this person know that he's my dad, after all of this time of never knowing who he is and having no connection to him, his life, his family, his needs, his wants, in any way, shape, or form, other than the stories I heard about the great Mech Scorpio. Versus, I grew up in a gardening shack and take money jumping out of planes. All I have to do is just say, stay a Taub, and I can have this frickin' necklace. That for me, honestly, is understandable.
And the necklace is still somewhere.
Hmm?
The necklace is still somewhere.
Yeah, doesn't Robert have it in his desk?
I think Robert has it. He has it hidden away.
Yeah, because it was unless Victor got his hands on it again somehow.
Well, he got it out of Holly's pocket, right?
Yeah, because Holly, you know, burning attorney.
Yeah, yeah, I'm supposed to still have the necklace. Of course, Cody really thinks the necklace was lost.
Yeah. So, okay, so all of that, no connection, no idea, all that kind of stuff. Oh, all I gotta do is just stay a Taub. I'll get, you know, $2.58 million. Like, I really honestly, you know, I could see the logic in that and not be immediately pissed beyond all recognition. However, if Cody finds out that the necklace is still around and then reinforces his lie at this point, knowing who we are, having a relationship with us, having this time in which the necklace hasn't been a present, hasn't been a presence, then I would be pretty upset. So we'll see. What do you think of Cody and Olivia? Do you think that they were testing anything here?
I thought they tested them some time ago.
Yeah,
I did. And I was thinking, you know, because at the time she was, when Cody first came onto the screen, she really wasn't getting along with Ned at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that, you know, maybe he was going to like something about her besides her cannoli. But it didn't really turn out that way. So I don't know. I don't want that, actually.
At this point, it's too late.
I think it's too late. You know, I think that best opportunity of time is passed for that.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of on board for it because I tell you, Lisa Le Cicero, she knows how to do some steamy love scene stuff. The stuff that, you know, she had that May December already with Johnny.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
She had that May December with Johnny already and it was good.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was good.
I love how the television is on when we podcast, and when it gets dark, when the clouds go over the sun, over where you live, you can see just like this flashing on your face as if it's like 1983, the TV's still on, it's 2 a.m.
Well, there is a TV on right
now. Yeah, you can just see it flashing. It's
got the sound all the way down, but yeah, I guess it does.
I like Cody. I like Sasha. At this point, I am a little like... So Cody can't go anywhere until John J. York comes back, right? So he's pretty secure, unless he leaves and then comes back when John is ready. My only concern about Cody and Sasha both leaving Deception right now and there not being a clear path for those characters going forward is this opens up an opportunity for them to decide they're going to move out of town.
It's true.
You know,
that's true. And I'm really expecting for the cast to be whittled down a little bit.
Me too.
Because they're going to bring in other people.
Even then, I mean, it might even be like the size of the cast. You know, I don't know if, you know, who has decided, you know, that the cast is this large. I understand. Listen, I know that I sell like crazy. You know, the producers are in charge and they make the decisions, and that is true. But that's also what informed by the writing. So I don't know if it was Frank who's like, we need a massive cast. If it's the network that says we need a massive cast, or if it was the writers who relied on having a massive cast so they didn't have to be too detailed with any one person because there was a lot that they could cover. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if we're going to whittle it down and not have replacements. I don't know if we'll swap people out from then, that, and the other thing. From my understanding, my rudimentary, basic, terribly uninformed understanding of what Chris and Dan had in mind for the whole Jason return included a lot of characters returning to the canvas that are not going to be returning to the canvas in the story that we are actually watching. So I don't know if is there interest? Is you know, I don't know. I'm not there to have the meetings. I'm interested to see what happens. Jason's definitely back. I don't know who else could be returning. Who's on your mind, Ma? Who do you think might be coming back? Morgan. Kiki. Now they'd have to recast Kiki. What's her name? Whoever played Kiki, I can't remember her name, or Aaron something. Haley Aaron,
She's
Aaron
on
Haley.
Days.
Something like
No,
yeah.
she's on Young and the
She's on
Restless.
Young and the Restless and killing it. People are really or I don't want to say people because I can't speak for the whole world. But reviews are good over her contributions playing some sort of just whack-a-doodle, insane, like really
She
bad
was.
person.
We saw her at the Emmys.
Yeah.
What a ball of
Gorgeous.
energy that girl is.
Just a gorgeous ball of energy.
Gorgeous ball of energy. And she had these big old black, like, combat boot things on and a mini skirt. She looked fabulous. And just so, I mean, she's just bing, 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 bing. She was, you know,
Are you talking? You're talking about Allie Mills?
no,
Oh,
I'm talking
talking about
about Kiki.
okay.
Her styling was a little bit like Allie Mills that night.
Okay. Wow. Who else has showed up in the chat that I didn't read? Hey, shout out if I didn't say your name yet. Let me get to it.
Where the hell is that? Where's Jacarius? Where is
I don't
he?
know. He's busy over in somewhere doing his thing.
Are you mad at us?
I don't know why you'd be mad at us. So a couple of weeks ago, Angela wanted to know why Jacarius hated her. You know, which he doesn't. She was just playing.
Course not.
Come on back, Jacarius. Oh, Leanne is here, Mama. Blink is here. We saw Kaiwan earlier. Goodbye, Anna. Gotta get some
Anna
new
fell off
tape.
the wall again.
Gotta get
She
some new
needs new
tape.
tape desperately.
Bad. Bad. She needs new tape bad. That's it. That's it. I mean, that's it that I'm reading names for. Say hi. Oh, Stephanie's here. Hey, Stephanie. See? Look at that. Without Brando, we need Cody, says Melissa. Okay. Okay. I'm with it. I mean, so much time is being put on the Spencers and the Quatermains and the Corinthosides, and then also a little bit deception here at the end of this week. I feel like a couple of people are getting lost in the shuffle a little bit. Just a little bit right
Man, that Lucy needs to shut up, doesn't she?
now.
Man, oh man, that girl's too
She's
much.
driving people away big time.
She's driving people away big time. Yeah.
Is this the reason why deception failed the first time?
If deception's gonna fail, it's because Lucy does not know how to shut up.
No, she just
And she has to realize, well,
hey, Michelle.
she doesn't own that whole company. She's, you know, she
But it's
doesn't.
mine. I invented the company, so it's still mine.
Well, yeah, you invented it and now you're effing it up. So there you go.
Chase really wanted to punch Jason.
Wonder why.
Oh.
I think they will get a new face of deception, though. I don't think it's gonna be Blaze.
No. So a moment ago, I think Melissa had said it would be interesting to have a in-closet lesbian be the face of a company called Deception.
Right?
But maybe that could be your big People magazine coming out thing. You know how anytime, I mean, not so much anymore, but in the 2000s to the 2010s, which kids, folks, children, young people who are watching this show, there aren't many of you. Hey, thanks for the contribution to the super chat, Leanne. Don't let her do it alone, folks. If you want to contribute to the show, you may do so. It's not required, but I sure love it. Anyway, oh no, I was throwing off my train of thought. Oh well. let's talk about Brooklyn putting John Jagger Cates in his place.
I loved it. Oh my gosh. You know, whenever they give her some fiery dialogue, she's so good at it.
She
I love
is.
it.
She
Amanda's
is.
good at it, huh?
Yeah, she was totally right too. Just like,
Yeah, she was. Yeah, she was. And
the
what was
gist of
Jagger
it was
thinking
like
he was
no
doing?
mom present, no lawyer.
Before Brooklyn got up in his grill, telling him off, I was thinking, what are you doing? That's a child. He's a minor. What are you doing? What are you doing? Somebody needs a mama bear. I loved it because Brooklyn is just a little tiny Tracy.
She really is. She really is. She's
Yeah.
like a little tiny Tracy with just a little bit more a heart that didn't need to be trained.
Right.
You
She's
know?
not going to withhold anybody's heart medication,
No. But she'll give it to you. Oh my
but
goodness
she can tap
gracious.
into her granny hard, can't she?
Melissa, thank you so much for your contribution. Kelly, thank you for so your contribution. This is like one of those drive-through pay it forward things.
I love that.
Oh, you warm our little broken hearts, our little tiny little non-existent hearts that just don't exist.
I tell you, Matthew's got the heart as big as his aura. He
It's
really
little.
does.
It's just a little, the littlest, most unimportant aspect of who I am, is my little tiny beating heart.
Oh, brother. Anyway, I thought, and I was hoping, because I love it. I love it. I love assertive women on soap operas. I love it,
Yeah.
especially when they're right.
Oh yes, and there was, and yeah, like I said, you know, that whole thing was just basically like, "Come on, cop,
What
what
are
are you
you
doing?"
doing? Right? Oh, and then him let him have it too. You judged jury, didn't you?
I gotta go back and watch that scene again. It was too good.
Ah,
It was
it
too
was
good.
good. It was good. And he left with his tail between his legs, like, yeah, I'm an ass.
Yeah. Now, Yama, so we fast forward, right? And Dex is sitting across from Anna being like, here's how I've lied, here's how I've cheated, here's how I've stole, here's how I've almost killed somebody. This is what Sonny's been up to. Let me just completely turn my back on that entire mob organization. Explain this whole laundry list of stuff that Sonny's been up to that you had no idea about. Anna turns that around and goes, okay, well, nothing can come from this. Thank you for the information. Don't ever tell anybody that you told me or you will die.
And what was so like, this is what I didn't like about it. I mean, the parts that she told him why he should just walk away and be quiet were correct. However, she didn't, did she not want to know anything about the Pikeman stuff?
No. I mean, I guess she didn't know the depth of Sonny's involvement. Like, she knew pikemen, she knew guns, she knew, filed off serial numbers. But when it came to, like, the footage that Jason took, that Dex took at the dock of the, moving of the guns and Sonny's deep involvement.
Didn't even ask about it.
Well, she needed to have
She
that.
reprimanded him on the stuff that, well, this will get you killed, blah, blah, blah. But you would think that she would have wanted, even if she was just putting it in her back pocket, you would think that she would want some intel on that.
Well, we'll get there. Oh my God, thank you so much, Liz and then Chandra, contributing to the super chat today. I don't know what to do. I'm gonna have a new microphone before you know it, folks. And then I'll stop being made fun of for what this looks like. I can't wait. I saw somebody tweet out there, why would you spend money on an arm to stick that thing in? And I saw you. I saw you. Because I kept on knocking it down with my hands when it was in front of me, okay? That is the reason why this thing is now hanging in front of my face. It's because I'm too expressive.
I kind of do this quite a bit, but I don't do this.
I gotta
I
do this.
know.
Everybody's gotta be entertained by the
I
fireworks of
know it.
my spirit fingers. thank you, everybody, once again, for your contributions today. I'm just humbled and blown away. We'll call it an Easter gift, and thank you. Oh, gosh.
But yeah, I did like that scene with Brooklyn. That girl can bring some fire. I loved it. Loved it.
Yes.
Now, the only thing would have made it better, the only thing that would have made it better is if Tracy came at the very end and they kicked his butt out, out together. That would have been funny. Or if right after he left, Tracy came around the corner telling her how proud she was of her. I heard all of it.
I would have even taken we'll have Monica. You know how they used to have those and they probably still do, those chairs that you can ride upstairs, because
Yes.
you don't walk upstairs anymore. So what we have is, BLQ, doing all this stuff, and then you hear as Monica descends the stairs to just look proudly. Get out of my house.
This is my house. Alan gave it to you, Timmy, and get out.
Get out.
Oh boy.
Oh gosh, that would be super fun. Kelly says that now that we're loaded with money, we can pay guests to be on the podcast. You know what, Kelly? Thank you. You're right. The $20 that we made today is going to make all the difference. Nah, we'll see. It's really easy to ignore the 10th floor. What happens is, whenever we show up somewhere, like the likelihood of somebody remembering us shoots way higher into the air. But in those middle times where I'm just sending like an Instagram message, it's really easy for these people to ignore us.
It is.
So.
It is. And it's extra easy for the them to ignore us too, as long as Coastal keeps on giving them money.
Yes. But that's also an assumption. It's not like I've ever had a conversation with one of the actors who does those Zooms that Kelly loves so
Well,
much.
if they're charging money for the Zoom, well then you would think they'd be
Oh,
sending
absolutely.
on to,
What I'm saying
yeah.
is, I don't know how much that diminishes their interest in doing things outside of that. Because it's not like they sign exclusive contracts, and there is nothing inside me that doesn't say that that company is tied directly into GHPR, where they're just like, okay, here are the two people that we have available. Make a Zoom. Make a Zoom
Yeah.
for these guys. Make a Zoom for these guys. Make a Zoom for. It seems like a partnership.
It does.
Like
It
that
does.
might even be why, maybe it's possible why we're not having a GH convention, it seems, this year.
It appears we are not having one.
You
That's
know,
true.
with the success of these Zoom events, maybe it's just the lower cost way of still having these Q and A's and these fun interactions and ways to see your stars talk about the show that they're on, that isn't renting a whole convention center and.
Or maybe they're gonna, or maybe they're just putting their all their eggs into Graceland now.
Maybe. Ooh, maybe. It's just
Maybe.
oof. I gotta write a series of novels, save my money, and then go to Graceland. Because I sure can't afford it right now, that's for sure.
Well, I certainly do want to go to that
That would
someday.
be
I
super
really
fun. It'd
do.
be
I'm
super
kind of
fun.
glad they're not doing the June one here in LA. Because I can't afford to go this time. So I'm kind of glad they're not doing it.
Well, I mean, it just doesn't seem like it, because information would have already been out, a
Yeah,
month
if
ago
they were,
about it.
yeah, if because that date would be arriving.
Coming pretty soon. Like, people would
Yeah.
have to be booked and schedules cleared and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
So, yeah, whatever. It was a good time. We needed 23 on Matt because he's clearly part Italian with all the hand talk. I am not part Italian.
You're Italian, you guys.
0%. 0%. You know what I am mostly? Oh, see, I haven't done the 23andMe, so I don't know exactly what my particular mix of things is. But my parents' particular mix of things is heavily British.
Your dad and I both were 65%.
So I can only assume that I am also majorly in majority as well, unless there was some sort of, swap and swivel of the DNA that contributed to me that activated more recessive traits and genes from places outside of Britain. I don't think that's the case, though. I think that I take after the Lawlesses a lot. I don't know, whatever, who cares? We don't need to talk about that right now. Testing Maria Santos and Sonny? Well, blink. Her name isn't Maria Santos. Okay. Her name was Natalia.
I thought they were really, really testing the Sunny and Natalia.
Oh, definitely. 100%.
And I think it cracks me up though that Sunny would get Parent of the Year for anything. But he seems to be, I don't know. I thought the dialogue was good, but at the same time, I mean, she's going to have an epiphany now that Sunny set her straight.
Well, oh, you know, that's the Maurice Bernard of it all.
Yeah, but I thought it was good, and I think they were really testing it. But I don't want to see Sunny Natalia. I don't. I want to see Sunny Ava. I want them to be co-badasses together. You know, he's always protected every woman that he's ever been with from really knowing the business. You know, there's things that you don't ask about. There's right. things that I say in front of you, blah, blah, blah. He's always protect. For him to be arm in arm with his woman to be gangsters together. Oh, I love it.
Yes. When have we seen it? Where?
Nobody could bring it like Mora West.
I know. She's just so good at everything that she does.
She's toe-to-toe with all of them.
Kelly tells me to not be mean. All right. I'm sorry, Blink. I was just giving it back to you because you're like, oh, it's not Cass and I, you know? It's just, you know, tit for tat, right? We're all friends here. I'm so sorry. Come back.
But I like this. Yeah. I do.
Yeah.
I'm all on board for the Sunny Ava pairing. That's what I want to see.
I think that the reason why we had the Maurice Bernard and Ava LaRue scene is because they're Maurice Bernard and Ava LaRue. We have them both on the show. Might as well. We got time to fill. Let's have them have a scene together. It's not like their kids aren't dating. It's not like they're both not daytime legends. And let's just see, even without it being, well, let's Kim test these two people for the future. But just more, let's see what these two daytime stars who really haven't worked together before can do in a scene together.
But they have worked together before. He was Nico on All My Children. Well, she was Maria Santos. No, they didn't. They weren't scene partners, but they know each other.
But that doesn't, they know each other, that doesn't know each other mean anything, especially with who Maurice Bernard was at the time. So, and it was also 30 years ago.
It was.
So,
it was.
You know who
I'm sad to see, though, that isn't there? Or another one of our All My Children champions. Marty is gone.
He's just on a break. So, what's his name? Michael E. Knight.
Yeah.
That random dude. He's on a break. Like, he's, you know, a recurring person. He doesn't have any dates right now scheduled. Marty is not a part of the story. It's not like they just haven't been using him. Like it's on purpose.
Right.
Because Michael E. Knight is, he's chilling. He's doing something. I don't know what
it
is.
Probably got something else going on.
I have no idea what it is, but from my understanding, he's doing something else right now.
Well, I hope he comes back because I really enjoy Marty. I really, really enjoy Marty.
I think he's a necessary part of the Laura and Cyrus dynamic.
I think so too. You know what I saw a recipe for this week, Matt?
Huh.
I saw a recipe for hummingbird loaf cake.
Oh.
Kind of like a banana bread.
Okay.
But it's hummingbird loaf.
Hummingbird loaf. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I might make that.
You might have to make that. And let me know how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And then send me the recipe. If it's great, and I'll make it here.
Yeah. You should, Matt. It isn't hard at all.
Oh, I'm sure it isn't. I'm sure it isn't. Yeah. It's just, you know, a little pineapple. Let's see. Blink says, okay, then let's talk about Maxie's sweater. Maxie's a beautiful, wonderful young woman. She's a wonderful mother. She is a loving partner. She is delightfully sassy. Kristen Storms brings a wonderful mixture of heart, sass, and determination into Maxie Jones.
I like her and her work dynamic. She's so good in it. And yeah, I hope we never see that sweater again. It's horrid. I hope they send it. I hope they send that damn sweater to Michael Keaton. Let him keep it.
Michael Keaton?
Yeah, because it's Beetlejuice. That's who
Oh,
that
got
belongs
it.
to.
Okay. I'm like, Batman? Maxie dressing down Lucy was so much fun to watch, says Melissa. Yeah,
It was.
Maxie's wonderful and great. I don't care about her sweater. Like I know it's a fun joke. Blink, I love the bit. We can talk about her sweater until, you know, the podcast is no longer being able to be hosted on a server because the world is ending. You know, super fun. Me personally, they could dress her in a paper bag and I'm still going to watch Maxie.
Me too. Me too. But that sweater is so hideous it can't get a bite. But I noticed what Kurt, I noticed Kirsten Storms, sweet. She's looking healthy.
Yeah, maybe whatever medication run she's had to be on is being adjusted or we're coming to the end of.
She just looked better. She just looked healthier,
It would be,
I thought.
like on one hand, it would be super awesome to have like regular updates about what these people are going through in their daily life so we can better relate to them as human beings and probably be more sympathetic in how we refer to them on the internet. But also at the same time, they also deserve privacy.
It's none of our business.
It's none of our
It's
business, but
absolutely none of our business. Oh my
the
gosh,
people
none of
will be
our business.
curious.
But yeah, of course, people are curious.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved her. Loved her.
Yeah.
Man, I really like Maxie and Brooklyn hanging out. You know, it's like kind of like gives me like a Lulu Maxie vibe.
Well, when we don't have a Lulu, let's just bring in a Brooklyn.
And with all their history with baby with a Bailey Lou, it really solidifies
It
it.
does solidify it, and it's very few and far between, but anytime that Bailey is mentioned in conversation between the two of them, my heart just kind of swells.
Oh, you know, Bailey Lou's gonna show up someday, you guys. She's gonna have some Georgie Spinelli lip. By the time they show her again, that's how old she's gonna be. That's rich.
Next time we see her, she's gonna be one of those toddlers that can't stand up. You know, like you know how there's some toddlers that no matter what, every four steps there's that's the Bailey Lou I see in my mind.
But if they're gonna age up Bailey, they gotta age up James.
Yeah, they would. I
Gonna
guess it
have to.
depends on what they have going on. You know, because if they age up James, the next like logical age for him to be would be like 12. But that's a little too young to be involved with what the other kids are going through right now, which still leaves them in this weird pocket. So we can't age up Bailey because we have to leave James the age he is if they
Well, I
intend on
guess we're gonna have
continuing
to
to
leave
use
her
the
in the
character.
daycare center for another couple years then, huh?
You mean Wheezy Faison? That is exactly who I
Wheezy
mean.
face on, yes.
Wheezy Faison, but that's only when she's being bad, you know? Like if like when she's getting ready for prom, she's Bailey Lou. Oh, Bailey Lou's going to prom. But when she breaks prom curfew, Wheezy Louise. Wheezy Faison, if you don't get your little butt back in this house right now. I really hope that the writers have paid attention to that fun nickname that
I
have
hope
come
so
up.
too.
Because if she were to go if she were to go by Wheezy, oh my God.
Wheezy face on. It was so, it's just,
It's
it's great
super funny.
comedy.
I don't know who coined that. Was it Melissa? I don't know. I love it. Oh, goodness gracious. I hated Maxie until she grew up and is the way she is now. Well, there you go. Well, there you go, Blink. I'm glad you
Yeah, you
agree.
know, back in the day when Maxie was messing with Lucky and stuff and keeping him a dope head,
Yeah.
feeding him drugs where he would still want to be with her and faking pregnancies and all. Well, yeah, she's grown up a lot.
These are all bad things.
Like in a way, it seems like losing Georgie kind of grew up.
Spinelli and Maxie,
It
both of
grew
them.
Maxie up a little
Yeah.
bit.
I'm with it. I'm with it. Let's see. Liz might get fired, but Spinelli keeps on staying in front of the thing. But Elizabeth is gonna figure it out, though. Even if the hospital doesn't catch on, Elizabeth is. That's all we really have to say about that.
But I think she's also going to be, well, I was going to say she's also going to be okay with it, but no, I don't think that because she's not going to be okay for who they were doing it for. I don't think she's going to be Camp Jason. I don't think this is going to be Camp Jason.
No, it's gonna be tough. It's gonna be tough. It's because the victim, Dante, isn't tied into Elizabeth. So there's again, they showed it this week. There's no real strong reason for her to believe one thing over the other, for now. And so I don't know, 'cause it'll eventually get proven, I would think, that Jason didn't pull the trigger. And I think from Liz's point of view, that would be what she needs to be like, all right, he didn't do it. How
And
hard she would fight for him is different.
maybe the reason why they will actually know is because Dante will wake up and tell them that he did not shoot him.
That wasn't him. That's probably why he's still out.
And I'm actually kind of surprised that they have written Sonny really misjudging Jason. I thought Sonny would stay more like Carly, like just nope, that's not Jason.
We talked about a little bit last week where there's been years now
Bless you.
of Jason making decisions that Sonny finds to be betraying. Marrying
That's true.
Carly, not looking for him hard enough after he fell, and da, 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 not contacting him for the years that he's been gone. So there have been a number of things that Sonny has experienced with Jason that might lead him to this. Sonny is also, a criminal mob boss who has to stay paranoid to be alive. So I think all of that kind of informs it, even if it's illogical, even if it hasn't been earned. I think that it has enough in it for me to be able to just go along for the ride without questioning it too much. They also haven't talked to each other.
Oh, not yet.
And so that I think will have a heavy influence on Sonny as well, what Jason has to
And
say.
I think we will see that in the next couple of weeks. I
Oh,
think we're going to
definitely.
see a lot of
Thank you,
Jason
Kelly.
interacting with different
Thank
people
you,
in the next
Chandra.
couple of weeks. I do
Oh.
think
Leanne with another
that.
contribution. Thank you very much, Leanne. And with this contribution comes a question. Will we ever revisit Donna was born with spina bifida? No, because they did surgery and they cured it.
Yeah. No, I don't think, I think, we're not going to see anything like that. No. I thought the spina bifida thing was lame to begin with.
The reason for Donna is a mystery. She's wonderful. The cute little actress with the dimples, and just they did a great job when it comes to picking somebody to play Donna. When it comes to the character of Donna herself, she kind of wasn't necessary.
No.
It was a late pregnancy for Carly. It was a
It
quick story.
what Donna being born with Morgan being gone.
Gave Carly and Sonny a full-blooded kid together.
Yes.
Really, that's the only contribution that child has made to the greater tapestry of General Hospital. Again, don't take that as I hate her, she's bad, she should get wrong, gone, or put her in the kid's closet and let's never see her. That's not what I'm saying. But when it came to just the creative inspiration for her, it was basically, what if we gave him a kid? Well,
And I
Carly's
know that
pregnant.
Laura Wright,
We're a hospital
I
show.
know Laura Wright never wants Carly to have another child. She's like, Carly doesn't need to have any more babies.
Maurice Bernard is on the same train too. He's like, I think Sonny's got enough kids.
And
So,
if they're going to have any more kids, it's going to be some long lost kid they gave away and forgot about. It's not going to be because they're going to put that belly back on Laura Wright.
Oh no. Oh no. And even then, like there is still the reality of realism in which Laura Wright's 50. Is it impossible? No. Is it highly unlikely? Yes.
Yes, highly unlikely.
They created Donna as an homage to the GH makeup artist that passed away. They named Donna after the GH makeup artist that passed away. The reason for Donna isn't because they wanted to name a character after somebody that passed away. That
Don't
now,
know.
listen again. I'm not back there having these meetings, and Kelly watches way more Zooms than I do. However, that just doesn't logically track for me. We lost a makeup artist. Well, what if we make Carly pregnant? We'll call the kid Donna as a way to honor her. That's a leap.
Yeah.
For me, at least. But don't come here for the news, folks. Kelly's probably right, as always. The only other note that I have is Marshall on his path to forgiveness equals goodbye.
Oh, I think so. I think Marshall's going to be leaving. I really do.
Yeah, he's going to go. I don't know. I don't see here's my big hiccup with that, though, is Lodge, unless they introduce something that makes perfect sense, which they could do. We just haven't been introduced to it yet. Why would Marshall figure out that he had been lied to his whole life and then go, well, cool, I'm going to leave my family again?
No, I think this is the reason why Marshall's going to be leaving. I think this is how they're going to write that he can leave.
Yeah.
I think he's going to go on a advocacy tour.
Oh, helping other people who were in his situation.
Helping other people that have been in his situation.
He and Stella can go do a tour of that together.
Yes.
Yeah,
I think that if they're going to have Marshall leave, I think that is a logical way to have him leave.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I like that. They should do that. Tell them to do that.
Well, I think that's what they're going to do. Then it makes perfect sense because he has come to some conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been given some conclusions and has been given some sight into exactly what has happened to him. When there's so many other people out there that may be exactly like him that don't have any conclusions yet.
Right, right. I think that's great. And here I'm going to dust off this old Gemma. Frank Valentini, I know you're listening. All right. Let's go ahead and just start integrating that into the future plans of the story here.
That's what makes sense for me for Marshall to go away. He needs to see Curtis stand up and take a step first.
Yeah. Which we're getting to. He can already move his legs and stuff. He's just not standing on his own yet. I like Marshall as a character. I love Robert Gossett performing Marshall. I enjoy his voice, how he forms his words. I enjoy his choices that he makes. I even like his dumb hat. But if Marshall is on his way out, I will not be completely gutted. I will survive. I will be fine. I don't think that him not being on the show anymore would take some necessary component away from the Ashfords or from Curtis or from the overall soap.
And I think that they ought to send, I think you're right. I think they ought to send Aunt Stella with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they should circle back and come back to town every once in a while.
But it's the pair of them.
It's the pair of them all the time. And they are now
Find out that they are just falling in love
on the road. When they're out on the road, we're not going to see it, but when they're out on the road, they're going to be together as a couple.
Yeah.
And they'll come back to town with, we got something to tell you.
Yeah. What's up with Selena and telling Curtis that? Telling Curtis what? What did Selena tell Curtis?
I don't remember.
I don't know. I don't remember either. Anyway, that was all my notes. That's all I got. You know, I mean, there's still ALS, you know, Gregory's still hobbling, you know, we still have Chase and Brooklyn, you know, bonding and having good, fun conversations. We've got,
and Alexis is going to be a lawyer.
Being a lawyer. We've got Drew, you know, figuring things out with Nina and Crimson, you know, the way forward with that. Not much to say about it yet, though, because, you know, we're getting started there.
What do you think they're going to do with Drew? I honestly think that. I don't want him to have to go into an elevator and just have the door closed. But, unless they make him have more layers, write him a new story, there's not a lot for Drew to do now other than be pissed.
Yeah. 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 So, like I said, you know, we're kind of getting started here with that new stuff. So I don't have a whole lot to say about it because I don't, you know, we're just getting to know what it is that what's going on in Drew's mind. You know, clearly he's in a middle place, you know, not in story and also as a human, You know, I can sort of see him kind of reaching, maybe that, no, well, maybe over here, no. You know, even with deception, he's like, you know, I don't want to be attached to a failure, but is this worth any of my effort? You know, he's balancing and measuring things out. And until we have a better idea, or until Drew has a better idea of how he's going to be juggling things in the
Purpose of
future.
him trying to lure Nina back to Crimson.
I don't know if it's luring or more just like, well, shoot, maybe I should just actually not, you know, maybe I should just try, you know. You know, maybe I shouldn't use this company as a vehicle for strict revenge, and let's just F it. Let's just see if this magazine, you know, it's hard. It's hard to podcast about because it's, you know, we're not informed
No, we're not.
on where Drew's head is at fully. So.
Yeah, and I don't know where Cameron Matheson's where he's at as far as, they have to share him quite a bit with
Right.
Hallmark.
Well, you know, the Great American Family now, he signed a big contract with them to do a bunch of movies. So, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Put Dante in the same facility in room with Lulu. They both wake up. Oh, Cheryl. Everybody wants to. I mean, I don't want. I can't say everybody, but the passion for Dante and Lulu is still very strong.
Oh, sure.
Alexis and Molly's combo was so real and raw. You know, I mean, there was a lot of really good stuff. Here's the thing about the show. It's so good that we can't stick it all into the hour to hour and a half.
No, it's
Like the
very
weeks.
noticeable. It's very with the writer thing, it's very noticeable.
With the week, when we talk about everything that happens in the week, we podcast for 2 hours and 15 minutes. You know,
A little
it's
long.
long. I appreciate everybody sitting here
Slow.
and enjoying it with us the whole time, but holy smokes,
It's long.
that's a long time. Yeah. Anyway, so that's me. That's me sauntering over to the elevator. So come on with me. Get into this elevator. Let's be done.
Let's be done.
We need more
Get on the
plants in
elevator.
this smallness.
Don't press all the buttons. It'll take us
I
forever to get
know,
down.
right? So we're just gonna hit the ground button, just G with the star next
Make
to
sure that little James ain't in the elevator. He would do this to the panel.
it. The actors are commenting that they like the new writing, says Blink.
Good.
I mean, listen, if I
I
was on
mean,
that
we
show,
like the new writing, so why wouldn't they,
yeah,
right?
this will be the last thing I say. I'm pushing the ground button, we're going down. You can feel the elevator vibrate as I say this. The first time we went to go and see Stephen Bradford live, they talked about the toxic balls and you know, the toxic spheres and that sort of stuff. And the thing that, and then I don't know, there was a Q&A or something, and somebody had a question for Steve, and his answer was, think about the times in which you think what we're doing is dumb. We think it's dumb too. So, keeping that tidbit in mind, yeah, getting the scripts before versus getting the scripts now and seeing what your character has to say and what they're up to must be super exciting.
Yeah, I bet they cannot wait to like they don't get the script for they don't get the entire script though. I think they just get their pages, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm just talking about the words on the page for them. You know, like BLQ confronts Jagger, and so Amanda Seton's reading this going, oh my God, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So
Man,
that's what I mean. That's what I mean.
some of the
Heather Surgery,
best.
see, look at that. A whole long list of things that we didn't even approach upon because there was so much to talk
Heather.
about when it comes to the other developments on the show. So congratulations, GH, for being great. I don't know. We're gonna have to start doing like two GH podcasts. We won't. It's
No, I don't think so.
a lot of GH
But you know
talk,
what we
guys.
are going to do, you guys? When it comes on, we're going to do a podcast on the gates.
Oh, we absolutely are. We're gonna gates it up.
You know when that starts?
Nope.
Have they said?
I have no idea if they said, but I haven't been paying attention to it. Oh, look, the elevator doors have opened. All right, everybody. Get on the elevator. You're going back down to the first floor. Okay. Get into the parking garage. You're safe this week. Turn your radios to previous episodes of The Tenth Floor, which you can find on all of your favorite podcasting platforms. If you can't find it on your favorite podcasting platform, you can reach out to me on Twitter at 10thFloorGH and I will send you in the right direction. Like the video, subscribe to the channel if you haven't. Join us next week, 9 a.m. live for Days for Dummies, 11 a.m. Pacific time for 10th Floor. And check us out Thursday night as well, 10 p.m. Eastern time, 7 p.m. Pacific. For late night tonight. No show next Sunday, question mark? I think we're going to do it next Sunday.
I know it's Easter, but I think we're going to give it a try, right, Matt?
You can confirm with me where your heart lies, you know, by like Tuesday or Wednesday. And we can make it official.
Okay.
So just pay attention to Twitter, and I'll try to do a little post here on YouTube as well for the subscribers to let you know what our plans are for Easter Sunday. Who knows? We'll see. Mm-hmm. Anyway, like, subscribe. Thank you for the contributions to the super chat. You know, if you want to leave a super thanks on the replay, you know, everybody, you're welcome to do that. So that's it. Thanks. Go spend some time with your families. I've been Matt.
I've been Kat.
I'll catch you next time right here on the 10th floor. Bye.
Bye.